download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And this is Monday Night Talk. We've hijacked it. I'm Christine James, not Kevin Tachi. We're having two back-to-back political forums as we get to Election Day. That's Tuesday, November 6th. Back-to-back forums tonight, starting with the 3rd Plymouth District. You've got incumbent Democrat Joan Moschino taking on Republican challenger Kristen Arute. Thanks for joining us, ladies. If you're not sure what the 3rd Plymouth District is, that covers Hingham, Hull, Cohasset, and part of North Scituate. Right after this race, we have the race for the Plymouth-Norfolk State Senate seat. We've got the incumbent Republican Pat O'Connor taking on Democratic challenger Katie McBrien and independent Stephen Gill. Of course, that's the state Senate district, so that's the towns of Weymouth, Scituate, Norwell, Marshfield, Hingham, Hull, Duxbury, and Cohasset. I'm your moderator, Christine James, and joining me to ask questions, we've got Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi. Kevin, good to see you as always.
Good to see you too.
Thank you. And from the Patriot Ledger, we've got Joe DeFazio. Thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem.
Thank you. And Whitman Hanson Community Access Television.
Bravo.
Putting this all on videotape. Now, for those, and of course, I don't want to forget the lovely Amy Leonard, right over there in the corner, always fashionably accessorized. She controls the cards, the red, the green, and the yellow. Green is go, red is stop. Yellow means you have 10 seconds, so this keeps our timing right, because after we do our opening statements, our questions, we like you to keep that answer to 1 minute. Our format is simple. We use this all the time. We ask the candidates have prepared opening and closing statements. No longer than 2 minutes, please, for your opening statement and 1 minute for closing. We ask a round of questions from the reporters. That includes a lightning round. That's where the answers are either yes or no or two sentences tops. And if enough time, sometimes we let the candidates ask each other a question or two and try to keep your answers, again, very simple to around a minute. If you consistently go over a ramble or start to repeat yourself, you get the bell. Now, we just chose our opening and closing order out of the official WATD Newsroom koozie. We are going to begin with Joan Moschino. Then we're going to go to Kristen Arute. And this order gets reversed at the end of the forum. So let's say good evening. This is the 3rd Plymouth District. Good evening and welcome to Joan Moschino.
Oh, thank you so much. And first, I'd just like to start by thanking WATD and Christine James for hosting this forum. I think it's a wonderful public service that you do. And to your listeners, hello. I am State Representative Joan Moschino. I'm a Democrat from Hull. I'm honored to serve the communities of Hingham, Hull, Cohasset, and North Scituate. And I wanted to come tonight and let you know that no one has or will spend more time getting to know our district, our communities, than me. I've participated over this term in countless meetings, events, celebrations, you name it. And this spring and summer, I walked the district and knocked on almost 2,000 doors myself. I just wanted to introduce myself to neighbors and to continue to learn more about the fabric of our community. And no one has fought harder for you this term than me on Beacon Hill for the things that we need to make a bright future. The first term's gone incredibly well. We've helped nearly 300 people resolve constituent issues at the state level. We work closely with all four of our towns and our boards of selectmen to advocate for the things that they need, the resources on the issues that matter for us. On the budget, we got the highest levels of state aid that we have in a long time. I got money for our school safety, for tourism, for animal control. Grants, I've been a strenuous advocate for the grants, and we've brought back dollars for seawall money, for community bridges, for the bridges, for dredging, for resiliency, for transit, historic and cultural preservation. And then we've also accomplished quite a bit on the policy side. I was proud to vote for and to really advocate for the CARE Act, opiate prevention and community support legislation, veteran services, sea level rise vulnerability grants, clean energy, grid resiliency, support for economic growth and small businesses in our district. The list really goes on. We've accomplished a lot. You can visit my website, joanmoschino.com, and I just want you to know I'm here to represent you.
Thank you very much. That was Joan Moschino, your opening statement. Let's go to Kristen Arute now, your opening statement for our listeners here.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Kevin. And I have Charles written down, but Charles is not here with us. So Joe is our stand-in. To Amy and to the WATD staff for hosting this forum. Thank you to Joan Moschino for being here as well. I look forward to a lively conversation with you. Both of us ran for this seat in 2016. It's exciting to be at it again. For those who don't know me, I am a lifelong resident of the South Shore, raised my kids here. I've lived in Hingham, grew up in Norwell. I have a broad and varied background in education, elder affairs, running a small business, and addressing the opioid crisis as president of Hingham Cares. Hingham Cares is the prevention coalition in Hingham, and we do a lot of work with the schools and also with other coalitions and other organizations throughout the town. There is a lot of daylight between me and my opponent on the issues, and that's going to come to light, I'm assuming, through the questioning that we will be undergoing. And I've been working hard in the district, just as Representative Moschino has, to bring my message to voters. I personally have knocked on close to 3,000 doors. I have other people knocking on doors on my behalf. I've attended events. I've attended all kinds of things throughout the district. I am hardworking, I am experienced, and most importantly, I am accessible. And I look forward to representing the people of the 3rd Plymouth District.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement of Kristen Arute. Now, let's go to our questions. Let's begin with the host of Monday Night Talk, and that's Kevin Dachi.
I'm going to jump right in on Kristen. One of the things you were just saying in your opening speech was that there's a lot of daylight between you and your opponent. I'd say shed some light on that, but I'd be using puns here. Share with us where you feel the differences are between you and the incumbent.
Well, there are three issues that come to mind, two of which voters have become acutely aware of. One is that Representative Moschino is in favor of making Massachusetts a sanctuary state. All four communities within our district have voted that down. As a matter of fact, her hometown of Hull voted that down pretty decisively at town meeting 2 years ago. Another is the pay raise. That is something that I absolutely would have voted no on, especially my first term in office. And then the third is a little known bill called Senate Bill 81. I refer to it as a regionalized zoning bill. It's a bill that was co-sponsored by my opponent. In addition to some dangerous components, it also allows for high-density multifamily development by right. It would establish regional boards throughout the state that would oversee the implementation of the specific aspects of this zoning bill, and zoning would actually be removed from the hands of communities and placed in the hands of these regional boards. That is something I'm adamantly opposed to. It affects home values, it affects the environment, and it affects town character.
So your opponent has unpacked a lot here between the pay raises, Safe Communities Act. Pick where you want to start, but she has put a couple of things on the table here. Let's start with the Safe Communities Act and work our way down.
Well, can I add one?
Sure.
I think one of the biggest places that my opponent and I disagree is climate change. Climate change is real. Sea level rise is real. And I think it's one of the single most important issues facing our district long term, and it's something that absolutely requires our attention and urgent action now. So I would add that as one more thing that we disagree on. I guess I quite frankly, Kristen, can't believe you kind of went for the sanctuary state one off the bat. In fact, Mass Fiscal Alliance has been putting out flyers about this, and it's all false. There is no sanctuary state bill. In fact, there was a safe community bill, and I did absolutely sign on to that bill. That is about community policing. It is about public safety. It was restoring a Patrick administration executive order that Charlie Baker eliminated. And quite frankly, there's a lot of data that shows that when you start to isolate one group in a community, that's when crime can flourish. And we absolutely need to keep things safe.
Thank you. If you feel during the debate that you didn't get to completely answer all the questions that we're throwing out, you can also use some of your time at the very end, too.
Thank you.
Any follow-up question, Kevin, with that?
I would, and she also mentioned, it seems like it's a hot topic for a lot of the races about the pay raise, knowing that you were walking in as a freshman legislator. Was there a thought whether or not you would accept the pay raise or maybe even donate it, as some more experienced legislators have said they've done?
So for my part, I'm a first-time legislator. It's a full-time job. I was absolutely okay making that vote. Again, that's another mass fiscal misrepresentation, another lie. The increase was on the legislative leadership stipends. And I am a freshman and a first-time legislator. I voted on something that didn't actually benefit me in any way, shape, or form. It is a full-time job. I have no problems voting in that increase because I know what it takes to do the full-time job and then to take on other leadership responsibilities. I was actually okay with that. A lot of people thought it was a lot of money, and I understand that. But I think that the work that the legislature does is really important, and I'm okay with that.
And we're going to just have another question here from Kevin in a minute, just adjusting his microphone just a little bit.
Sorry, I think you were hoping I would go a little longer, weren't you?
Do you want to respond in regards to the acceptance of the pay raise or the Safe Communities Act?
And that's Kristen Arute.
Absolutely. I would love to respond to both. So I've spoken with District Attorney Tim Cruz, who's the District Attorney for the Plymouth County, with Sheriff Joe McDonald, who is the Sheriff for Plymouth County. I've spoken with members of law enforcement, and all of them are opposed to the Safe Communities Act. As a matter of fact, as I mentioned before, all four of our communities that are within our district are opposed to any language that would incorporate the Safe Communities Act into a piece of legislation. So there's a disconnect there between Representative Moschino's ideology and the wishes of her constituents.
Actually, that's not true at all.
You got a chance to rebut.
With regard to the pay raise, one of the most concerning things, in addition to the amount of the pay raise, was the fact that it was taken in an emergency session. So emergency language was applied to this particular bill in order to have it passed immediately and put into law immediately. It also limited the window of time for constituents and for members of the legislature to carefully review that piece of legislation and to respond to it. So as a huge proponent of transparency and openness, I found that particular component of the bill and the process that was taken to be particularly disturbing.
Again,
Joan,
not
would you like to
correct.
Respond to that?
So first on the pay raise, emergency legislation, an emergency preamble is merely to say that it will take effect sooner than 90 days. Every law goes into effect 90 days after it is signed by the governor unless it is otherwise indicated. And in fact, there was plenty of time. This came out of a 2015 commission report that had a full hearing in the prior session in 2016, and they just ran out of time to take a full vote of the House or the Senate before the end of the session. And so the first opportunity was once we got back into session, that was the first time to bring it. And all they did was they said an emergency preamble was so that it could go into effect sooner than the 90 days, and it went into effect sooner than the 90 days, simply because it's a payroll issue. So it is completely disingenuous to call that out as an emergency and to question it when, in fact, if you'd been paying attention along the way or you understood the process, you would recognize that it was simply procedure. Second, when we're talking about the Safe Communities, yes, the town of Hull did.
Sorry, going to run out of time.
You know what? I think that's unfair. You're allowing her to attack me. And the fact of the matter is it's a blatant misrepresentation of what our communities for community
policing. I'm not allowing anybody to attack me. She can say what she wants, but I have to keep them. I have to keep the time to respond
at
the same, so nobody accuses us of trying to be unfair. Again, if you feel like you didn't get everything in, you can always use some of that time at the very end.
I will.
Any other follow-up questions, Kevin? Or Joe DeFazio from the Patriot Ledger, questions for the candidates.
Sure. This is something I've spoken about with both of you, but it's a little bit different than we were just talking about. But both of you have talked about kind of seeing an issue with vaping in schools with kids and teens, and maybe taking that on as opposed to like smoking would have been 20 years ago. What would you like to do to tackle that issue? And who does it go to first?
We'll start with Joan this time.
So vaping is a huge issue in our schools right now and among our young people. And the FDA actually has just come out and taken some pretty strong stance and regulations against the vaping, and particularly on Juul. But I think the thing we really need to focus on is parent awareness. It's still pretty easy to get this stuff on the internet. I don't think young people, when I hear some of the forums that they've been speaking in, I don't think they understand that it is as dangerous, if not more dangerous, to their health than smoking. So I think that educational component through Cohasset Safe Harbors, through FACTS and Scituate, these are the places that are really working on the prevention and the educational pieces that our children and our parents. In fact, I just put an op-ed with the Hingham PTO chair on this very topic.
Okay, same question directed to Kristen Arute.
So I noticed that you left out Hingham Cares, but I won't take it personally. As president of Hingham Cares, we have brought several different types of programming into the schools, and one of them was a forum on specifically on vaping last spring. It was extremely well attended. Representative Moschino was unable to stay for the entire forum, unfortunately, but we've had several meetings on this particular topic. We've done Facebook posts. We have a very limited budget right now that we're working with, but we do align ourselves with the other coalitions in the area, Scituate, FACTS, Safe Harbor Cohasset, and HAPSA of Hull, which is from Representative Moschino's hometown. So all four of the coalitions are very much aligned with and very much have a pulse on what's taking place in the schools, and this is a very real issue within the schools. So I would absolutely say that funding for local coalitions and allowing local coalitions to bring in the programming that's necessary to get the education out there is absolutely important, and that's something I would focus on.
I'm going to ask you both a quick follow-up question about that, because we talk about vaping because it's something that we deal with in the newsroom, and then I'm going to get to another topic. Do you think a lot of people that are listening have no idea what we're talking about? Like, what is vaping? Oh, is that just a different kind of cigarette? Joan, can you tell our listeners a couple of things about vaping that people probably, unless they're around it, have no idea that it's composed of?
So vaping implies that somehow this is water mist, when in fact, think more aerosol. And it's this tiny little piece. It looks like a USB drive. And what it does is it heats up liquid and it puts out this mist. And it has a lot of chemicals in there. And it's called popcorn lung. And that's what it's sticking to the insides of your lung. Like, think about aerosol from a hairspray can, something like that. And it is incredibly dangerous, regardless of whether or not it has nicotine in it or not. Just the chemicals themselves to do the vaping. Plus, the other piece of it is you can always take it apart, and young people are figuring out how to smoke marijuana to put the THC in the vaping mechanism itself. And just to be clear, Kristen, I did stay for the end of the forum that you put on with that the Hingham PTO put on with Hingham Cares, and I heard every single piece of it, and I chased down a lot of the questions that they had with Barbie Dwyer.
Okay, let's go to Kristen. Tell me a couple things about vaping that people listening, unless they maybe have kids that are involved with it, probably don't know, because I think a lot of people use that term and they really don't know what it is. Oh, they think it's like a different kind of a cigarette, but it's a real issue in the schools.
It's a real issue in the schools, and one of the reasons why it's such a real issue in the schools is because it does emit this odorless vapor, and so it's not very well detected. I am a math tutor, a private math tutor, and one of the things that some of the students draw to my attention to is the fact that students are actually vaping in the classroom. They don't even have to dismiss themselves and use the restroom, although that's become a real problem as well. But you can vape in the classroom and that water vapor dissipates, and teachers have no idea that it's taking place. Another thing, in addition to the things that Representative Moschino just mentioned, another thing that's of concern is that this is a product that is pretty clearly being marketed to young people. And one of the reasons for that is because the earlier someone gets hooked on something like this, they end up becoming more addicted and become lifelong users. So it's to create this customer base. That's what I would imagine. But with flavored cartridges and things like that, and colorful packaging, it's pretty disturbing. And then just real quick, Representative Moschino, I apologize that I didn't realize you stayed for the entire thing when you arrived. At the event, you told us that you would only be able to stay for the first 10 minutes.
We sat in the back because we knew we might have to leave early.
Okay, I just want to switch topics. I want to go to water now from vaping. One of our listeners sent in, and I didn't know that there was actually another forum tonight in Hull regarding the topic we've been covering about the potential purchase of the Aquarian Water Treatment Plant by the town of Hingham. And our listener wanted to know, are you for or against Hingham purchasing the water treatment plant? And explain yes or no. Kristen.
This is an issue that I've been following very closely for a long time, and I have some very real concerns, in particular for the people who are serviced by the water company in Hull. Tonight is a forum that's taking place in Hull. It's unfortunate that neither one of us are able to be there, but, you know, there'll be plenty of other forums to attend. And there are three things that I've drawn the attention of the residents of Hull to. One is that the town of Hingham has set up a governance system such that the town of Hull doesn't really have a seat at the table. So the town of Hingham Board of Selectmen would be the water commissioners. They would hire a water superintendent. And then they talked about putting together a 5-member customer advisory board that would be comprised of volunteers. Three of those members would be from Hingham, one from Hull, and one from Cohasset. That would be the only place where Hull would actually have a say, and it's not really a say. It's an advisory board. There's no voting power. So my concern is that it's not being addressed as a regional water company, but in fact a town-owned water company.
And just a quick follow-up. So can you say yes or no? You're leaning in one direction or the other?
I'm leaning against the purchase of the water company.
All right. Joan, what do you think about this aquarium? Do you think Hingham should buy it?
So I'm a resident of Hull, and I have great faith in Hingham to evaluate what it might choose to do, and I have great faith in the town meeting voters in Hingham to make a decision. You know, I appreciate your concerns that you've articulated, Kristen, but in fact, what is going on here, they have the legal right, as the town of Hingham, to purchase the water service area. And that includes both Hingham, Hull, and Cohasset water users. As a matter of law, they may not discriminate against ratepayers. They have to treat ratepayers equitably. So I don't look at it as a Hingham versus Hull kind of a question. I look at it as whether or not it makes sense for the town of Hingham to undertake that purchase. And I think they've done a ton of work on it. I think that they've really come down and illuminated the issues really well. And I think they're capable of deciding perfectly well what they want to do, yes or no. And I don't think there's a role for the state representative to say one way or the other.
Okay, I was going to say, were you leaning in one direction or the other?
Well, I certainly have a personal opinion, but in my role as state representative, I don't think it's my business to tell Hingham Town Meeting what they should or shouldn't do. It's my business to make sure that things happen fairly and equitably, and the law already provides for that.
Okay, let's go to next question with Kevin Tachi.
The state currently has a sizable surplus from fiscal 2018. Now, the current administration has some ideas as to where to spend that additional money. Where would you like to see that money spent, especially in your district, Representative?
So first and foremost, I'd like to see a sizable portion of it go back into the rainy day fund against any future economic downturns. As far as our communities, Hingham, Hull, Cohasset, and North Scituate, I'd like to see education be at the top of that priority and public transit.
Okay. Same with you. Where would you like to see that, if you could have a say, where would you like to see the money spent in the district?
I would love to see the money spent, as I mentioned before, on prevention coalitions. I think the prevention coalitions in our district do tremendous work. I would also like to see the issue of senior housing addressed. Currently, we have senior housing in Hingham, and it's a 7-year wait just to get on the waiting list for this particular senior housing, affordable senior housing. So I would like to see some money put toward that as well. We can certainly do more to address issues with our veterans. We have a wonderful veteran service agent in Hingham. We have wonderful, wonderful veteran service agents throughout the district. However, the additional support that they can have to help veterans navigate through their benefits and through the paperwork that they need to achieve those benefits would be beneficial.
My quick follow-up would be in regards to the economy, which has been seeing some steady growth over the past couple of years. What are some of the initiatives that you feel the state should implement to maintain steady growth? Kristen?
Could you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Question is we've been seeing that the economy has seen steady growth. What would you like to see implemented, maybe put in place to continue that growth? Steps to maybe help it continue to grow, whether it's programs?
Having run my own small business, I am very much concerned about overregulation as it relates to small business, whether it's the Airbnb bill or any other types of initiatives coming down from Beacon Hill that create these onerous pieces of legislation that small businesses have to navigate through. So I would say anything that we can do to direct resources to small businesses, to help invigorate the economy, in particular in communities like Hull, where you know, they have a very struggling economy right now, and they're sort of searching for ways to invigorate their economy. They have some wonderful restaurants and wonderful shops. I know that the Hull Chamber of Commerce brought in the Hullo trolley this past year. They did trolley tours throughout the town of Hull. So creative initiatives like that don't get caught up in red tape.
Same question, Representative. What do you feel needs, what would you like to see done to continue this growth without it being stunted?
Well, one of the things that I've been very focused on has been transportation. How do we get people to our district without cars? And so what I'd really love to see us doing is building out the ferry schedule and to trying to get a better commuter rail schedule that is not just about commuting in and out of the city, but in fact that reverse commute. We were able, Senator O'Connor and I were able to get some grant money for the trolley that Kristen referenced a few minutes ago that really makes that last mile of travel possible. So you can take the ferry down and start to connect more within the district. And one of the things I'd like to start working on in the next term is, in fact, regional transit authority relative to the four towns so that we're connecting our downtown economies and really connecting that to the beachfront, but to Metro Boston and to Massport. That's the other piece.
Okay. Joe DeFazio, question for the candidates, please. You're listening to a political forum here on WATD. It's the 3rd Plymouth District, and we've got the candidates. We've got the incumbent, Joan Moschino, and her challenger, Christina Root, and that is Hull, Hingham, and Cohasset, and part of North Scituate. Joe DeFazio, question.
For both of you, what would you want the opioid epidemic to look like in 10 years, and what do you think the best way to get there is?
And who would you like to start with?
Who's went last? So I guess Kristen.
Let's start with Kristen.
Okay. Well, obviously, I would like to see it more under control. I went to a seminar the other day, and it was led by a woman who started a nonprofit to address the issues that children have who are being born drug addicted to these drug addicted moms. And it's a real tragedy, and it's a real public health crisis, quite frankly. So I know that she's struggling to get funding and support. Again, you know, our government needs to be more nimble, in particular when it comes to funding. So when these new types of things come up, it would be wonderful if she could easily access grant money to get programming out there and to show support to these families and also to the hospitals. These children have long-term health issues that are very challenging for schools to identify. So even, you know, being able to provide support to school administration and school staff so that they can identify and address these very important issues with this particular group of children.
Okay, same question, Joan Moschino.
So I think the next important piece for us to work on is the insurance piece and the coverage piece and the number of beds. I think that people who are struggling with recovery, it doesn't happen the first time around, not even the second time around. And so I think what we really need to do is continue to change our perceptions around what it means to really provide the kind of community supports so that it is there. You take it right out of the shadows, put it right front and center in our community, let these people in our community who are struggling know that we support them, but then provide them with the insurance coverage that really lets them go back and make the true kind of recovery, and then the follow-up supports. I think the other piece that we just aren't really talking about yet is the flip side to the coin, which is the mental health piece. I think that is another piece that we need to start to really understand and to take steps and strategies around really eradicating it and supporting those towards recovery for the long term.
Okay. Any follow-up with it? Okay. Let's talk about education. I know that this has been an issue that you've both been very passionate about. And Kristen, I believe last time you ran, you mentioned it, and I believe this time too, talking about eliminating high-stakes testing for kids.
Yes.
What exactly does that mean?
Well, the high-stakes term has two different components to it. One is high stakes in terms of assessing teachers, and then the other is high stakes in terms of assessing children. The high stakes component as it relates to teacher assessment has been removed thanks to negotiations between the Mass Teachers Association and the schools. However, that component of high stakes for kids still exists. And when you talk about high stakes, we're talking about anxiety that's created for these children. We're talking about classroom time that's been disrupted. We're talking about teaching time that's being taken away from teachers. And we're also talking about results that aren't readily available to teachers. The results that come from these standardized tests aren't even available until the following school year. So they kind of render themselves useless in a way. The other thing that I'd like to point out is that we spend between $25 and $35 million a year on this form of testing. And instead of reining it in and sort of decreasing its growth, we're actually expanding its growth into other subject areas as well. So that's a concern of mine.
Okay. Joel, what do you think the most important component is about education here in the state or in your district?
So we have fabulous education, fabulous schools in our district. I mean, blue ribbon schools. I think our district has done a tremendous job. Our towns all uniformly support education. They pay for it. I think some of the challenges that we have is that it's been 25 years since ed reform. It has been 25 years since the McDuffie case first said, you know, that it was inequitable. And I think it's time that we go back and take a look at the foundation formula funding. There was a wonderful commission. I think everybody has great consensus around how we might amend the formula. Those bills have been working their way through both the House and the Senate, and it targets the gap in teacher insurance costs. It targets some of the costs that are out of step relative to special ed. And what we're really talking about is how you supply funding at the state level to really take the burden off of the residential tax base. And of course, it just costs a little bit more to fund kids in poverty. And I think we just need to start taking those recommendations and funding them as we move forward.
Thank you very much. That was Joan Moschino. Let's go to Kevin Tachi. Questions for our candidates tonight.
Do you feel that the state has a comprehensive plan in place to address the Commonwealth's transportation needs now and into the future? Representative Moschino.
So I think MassDOT has been doing a really terrific job and has a great plan in place relative to bridges and roadways. A lot of that was started under the Patrick administration and has continued under the Baker administration. The MBTA is a different story. On the South Shore, we experienced that both through the bus line, through the commuter rail, and through the ferries. And I think the ferries, we've done great. We were able to get two new ferries with some great capital improvements. The schedule's working well. It's on time. It's reliable. And people are using it, and it's growing. But we still continue to struggle with the Greenbush line and commuter rail broadly, and quite frankly, with the MBTA. Governor Baker has really tried to wrangle that, but has just not yet has not yet managed it. And I don't hear an overarching strategy or theme coming out from the administration on that. And that's something that I think we need to be continuing to work on.
Same question, Kristen.
So I guess the answer to that question is no. There is no plan. There is no plan in place. There is no future thinking. There are certainly ideas that are being floated. There are issues that need to be addressed. However, in terms of a plan, I don't see one. And it's unfortunate because places like Hull, Cohasset, Scituate, Hingham's a little more accessible. But some of these areas that are a little more remote, train access is absolutely critical. Commuter access into the city so that people who are living on the South Shore can make their way into the city, whether it's by boat or by train or by red line or by green line or what have you, that's all very important. So, and of course, traffic has become such a terrible issue. So making sure that public transportation is more accessible is very critical. But from what I've seen, between cleaning up what's going on at the MBTA and floating certain proposals, I don't see any definitive plan of action in place.
I'm going to go to do a lightning round now. I can't believe this time has been going by so quickly. But again, the lightning round is where we ask questions, and the answers are either yes or no, mm-hmm. or one or two sentences tops, which I know is very difficult.
We'll be good.
And you know what I'm going to ask, because I ask this at every forum. What do you think about Plymouth County government? Two sentences. Stay or time to go? Let's start with you, Kristen.
Oh, of course. I'm going to say stay.
Okay. Joan, stay or go?
Stay.
Okay. Kevin Tachi, lightning round.
If you're elected or reelected, would you vote for the current Speaker of the House to continue on? Kristen.
I would not.
Yes, I support Speaker DeLeo.
Okay. Joe DeFazio, lightning round question.
All right, this might be a more fun one. Favorite place to eat in the district?
My God. Just turned into Charles Matheson.
Now the Dr. Phil portion of the evening.
How do you pick?
Okay, let's start with Joan.
You know what? All-time favorite, Jake's. Sorry.
Okay. Favorite place to eat?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going in and out of the district right now. I would have to say...
This is lightning.
I know. I'm so sorry.
It's hard.
I was just there the other night. Local 02045 was a really great restaurant that I visited the other night.
Okay. I have to do Charles Matheson justice here. Three places that you get your news. What are your news sources? Give us three of them. Representative Moschino.
So I'm pretty good on Patriot Ledger, Boston Globe, BBC America, NPR. I listen to WATD and WBZ on the radio when I'm in the car.
Okay. Kristen?
Three. Hingham Journal, Hull Times, Cohasset Mariner.
Well, no radio in there, huh? Okay.
One more lightning round question. Joe DeFazio.
How would you vote on question one? Yes would create a ratio for nurses to patients, and no would leave the hospitals the way they are. Kristen.
Two sentences.
Based on my conversations with nurses, hospital staff, doctors, I am leaning toward no.
Okay. Joan?
I support the nurses and the safe staffing question. It's really about elevating the profession and doing the kind of tertiary care that's good for healthcare.
Believe it or not, we're ready to go to our final statements here. We've got one minute to make your final comment, and we're going to switch the order. When we began, we went with Joan first, and then we went to Kristen. So now we're going to go to Kristen first, and then Joan, you've got 1 minute to tell people why they should vote for you.
Okay. Thank you again, Christine, Kevin, and Joe, and the staff of WATD, Amy, as well, for your amazing work on the cards, and for Joan Moschino for being here, for the opportunity to share information about my candidacy, my agenda, my goals, and my priorities with your listening audience. As I mentioned in the opening remarks, I have a broad and varied background upon which to draw. It's one that resonates with voters, and my priorities are in keeping with those of the people of the 3rd Plymouth District. I would be going to Beacon Hill to represent them, not a political ideology, and I would be ready to roll up my sleeves on day one and get work done. I have a great rapport with Senator O'Connor, DA Tim Cruz, Sheriff Joe McDonald, and of course Governor Baker. And I look forward to working as a team to benefit not only our constituents, but also the people of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Thank you to the listeners at home for tuning in. I would be grateful for your vote on Tuesday, November 6th.
Thank you very much. That was a closing statement of Kristen DeRoot. Now we're going to go to Joan Moschino.
So thank you again for hosting us. It's great to be here and have an opportunity to address your listeners. I think your questions actually did illuminate the fundamental differences in values and vision with my opponent. I guess what I'd like to share with you is that you can trust me. I continue to work in a bipartisan manner. I grew up in our community. I've lived here most of my adult life. I care deeply about the people who live here. I continue to provide excellent, top-notch constituent services. I listen. I work collaboratively. I work across the aisle, and I get things done. I will continue to be a tireless advocate for you, and I just want everyone to know that I wake up every day thinking about what I can do for you as your state representative to make life better for folks in Hingham, Hull, Cohasset, North Scituate. I enjoy the work tremendously, The first term's gone really well. I'm excited to run for re-election, and I humbly ask for your vote on November 6th. And I wish my opponent, Kristen, all the best of luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you very much. And, of course, you've been listening to the candidates here for the 3rd Plymouth District, Hull, Hingham, Cohasset, part of North Scituate. And we've got Kevin Tachi asking questions with me, Joe DeFazio from the Patriot Ledger, Whitman Hansen, Community Access TV, and our own Amy Leonard asking questions. Actually, she's not asking questions. She's just controlling the time over there.
She has many cards.
She's got the power, like the song says. I'm Christine James, your moderator. Excuse me, I've got a cold tonight. This whole forum will be up on our website, and you'll hear selected cuts tomorrow morning as well. WATD will have reporters assigned to all these candidates. Remember, get out there and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll talk about the Plymouth Norfolk State Senate seat. We'll be back right after this.